Good morning, happy Sabbath. How many of you are thankful for being here this beautiful Sabbath morning? Amen. Amen. I want to start off first with a quick word of prayer. Please, bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this wonderful and beautiful Sabbath morning, Father. I invite your spirit into this congregation, Lord. Be with each and every one of us, and let your message be heard to all of us. Let us all take it in with thankfulness. I ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. So first of all, I want to start off with some thank you shout-outs. I want to thank the church first and the pastors, of course, for giving us youth our own day to take control of second service. Put some enthusiasm into it, right? And pastors, thank you very much. And second service, just chillax and bear with us. For the youth, I want to thank the following: Amber, Anna, Caesar, Diego, Frankie, Jacob, Juan, Kai, Michelle, Quincy Jr., Wendy, Miriam, Angie, Kara, Uriah, Karn, and Josh Lowe for making this possible. Thank you, you guys. And for anybody I missed out there, forgive me, please. You know who you are. And of course, for the parents for making this possible, you drove your beloved children here from practice just about every day. Thank you for that very much. And a special thanks to the Lowe family for their puppet ministry that they put together. Wasn't that not a blessing this morning? And for some individuals out there, we want to give a special thanks to Shannon Dorsey. Are you here, Shannon? Stand up if you are, please. Well, special thanks to Shannon because without his discipline and his encouragement, I don't think we would have been able to put the skit together. He was a help in that. And for Wendy Plummer, bless her soul. She put blood, sweat, and tears into this ministry and still does. And a really, really special thank you to Sylvia. Could you come up, please? If she is here. Oh, thank you. There you are, Sylvia. This is to you from our youth ministries. Now, one second. I haven't gotten to know Sylvia very well, but just by seeing her direct and put this script together and get all us youth together and encouraged about it, I mean, bless her soul. I can see she has a passion for us youth. So, youth, we'd like to thank her for that, right? She is a truly spiritual woman. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you very much. And, you know, now for a little grand finale for a woman who also put blood, sweat, and tears into everything and is one of the elders of our church, Estrella. I invite you to come up, please. Let me shine the badge right there. Could you stay up here for a second, Estrella? If it wasn't for Estrella, I don't think this youth ministry would be here today. I mean, when we first started off with this, she was always calling me, getting a hold of me when I would kind of slack off. She was always calling the youth, trying to get them involved. And she was always organizing something, putting something amazing together. She was always putting her whole heart into the Vespers and doing the best she could. And I mean, without her, I know for a fact this youth ministry wouldn't have been what it is today. Because look it, we're here holding up second service, aren't we? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Estrella. So, good morning. How's everybody's morning been so far? Got here safe? You here at church? Almost. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was an interesting experience. But so how many had a good Thanksgiving break? Amen. For my meat eaters out there, how many of you ate that nice, delicious, warm Thanksgiving turkey? Oh, yeah. Amen. And for my fellow vegetarians out there, let's see, Mr. Garcia, are you out there? How was that, what is that, tofurkey? Tofu turkey? I heard that was some good stuff. I don't know. I heard about it. I'm looking to try. So. Now, I hope everybody enjoyed themselves this week. I know I did. Stuffed myself like a Thanksgiving turkey. Amen. Now, I just want to throw this in here from first service. You know, despite any troubles we may have gone through this week, you know, regardless of any trials we went through, tribulations, you know, for us adult, for those adults out there, if you had a hard time at work, you know, had a hard time with those kids, your teenagers, aren't you just blessed to come here this Saturday morning to worship? And for us kids, regardless of anything that happened with friends and anything out there, aren't we just blessed to be here? Amen. Now, my topic, as is pretty obvious, is probably on thankfulness, since we just had Thanksgiving. Haha. But it's something unique. It's being thankful when God doesn't make any sense. Now, how does that work out? I mean, how many of us are thankful when we go through trials or hard times usually? Not most of us, not me. But, because I know for a fact, if I'm at school and I'm stuck on a problem or on a test or on a homework and it's not making any sense, I'm not thankful for that at all until I get my A on it. But regardless of that, I'm sure we have plenty of things that we can be thankful for, right? Plenty of things. I mean, family and friends, right? Socialize with them. We can go hang out with them. They uplift us most of the time. They give us things to do, and they're really supporting. And now for all my eaters out there, of everybody that loves food, who's all out there that loves food? Oh, Jacob, right there. Yeah, right there. Amen. I'm thankful for food. And another thing, for church, I'm thankful for our church. Aren't we all? I mean, I think sometimes we might take this for granted, but a lot of people out there just haven't found their way quite to the church yet. So I'm thankful for our wonderful church. And one thing that hit me was music. How many of us are thankful for music, especially us as youth? Couldn't live without it. And, you know, our list could go on forever, right, on what to thank God for and what to give him credit for. But how many of us are actually thankful for those hard and difficult times that we encounter? You know, those trials that we end up going through. Oh, you over there. Amen. But, man, I know. And this is just me. I know if I'm going through if I'm having a bad day, you know, I'm going through a hard time, and you were to come up and approach me, I don't think I'd be the most nicest Christian at the moment. Because that's just how I think some of us get. Well, I know I get. I get so caught up in the moment that I don't know how to act or react, you know. We're just humans, though. None of us are perfect. But we probably don't mean to be like that, right? How many of you can have an attitude sometimes towards something? Towards something bad, see? At least I know I'm not alone anymore. But I remember there was a time when I was going through a trial. I believe, you know, Satan was pressing upon me and he was using the things I like actually to put me down. The guy's dirty. I remember I was overwhelmed with too much stuff. You know, I was always worried. I was always trying to do something over here, do something over here. I want to get involved in this, do this. Well, I got homework, you know, and I want to do things for myself. I was too overwhelmed. Too much stuff to do. And because of that, I ended up becoming depressed, and I slowed down a lot. Now, this week this went on for about a week, a good to 2 weeks. And I mean, I tried everything to help me. I mean, I love working out every once in a while, so I'd go for my run. Didn't help at all. I would try talking and complaining to my friends. I mean, uplifting. They were uplifting, but it didn't help for some reason. And I mean, I would even fall on my knees night to night, crying out to God, wondering, you know, what's up, Lord? You know, the Bible says, tell it to him how it is. And I would tell it to him, but I didn't know what was going on. But one thing that I knew was a good friend of mine, Caesar, told me that everything good comes from God. All the bad things come from Satan. I'm pretty sure Satan was putting me through that. But God was wanting to see who I would run to. Now, I was running out of options. I had no idea what to do. How many of us have been lost before in that kind of situation? Where we just don't know who to run to at the time, or we don't know who to turn to. Now, really quick, open up with me, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Romans, and turn to chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. I've been learning about Paul a lot this past week while I've been staying with my brother Josh over here. And this guy is pretty cool. All right. So Paul says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. All right, now, Paul says, be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, steadfastly in prayer, continue it. To me, well, from what I learned about Paul this past week, this guy knows his stuff pretty well. He has it down. If you guys know Paul's story, he was a Pharisee, I believed, and he believed strongly in the law of the Torah. I mean, his faith was built on that. He was a strong believer, and all that good stuff. So later on, as you know, he was traveling down the road of Damascus, right? When God, oh so graciously and beautiful, blinded him with a big, bright light. And the story goes on. He ends up getting converted, baptized, and he becomes this strong man of God. All right. So that's all good and great. Well, back in the day, there was the high priest. I didn't know his name, but I know there was the emperor, Herod. And I know this emperor had some issues. Now, one thing I knew is that the high priest didn't agree with the things that Paul was doing, nor did the emperor. He didn't agree with the apostles or these new so-called Christians that were coming up. So, nevertheless, this was a good point in time, though, because this was the rise of the Christians. This was when the apostles started going out and preaching the word. But also, Herod and the high priest disagreed strongly, well, the way I understand it, with these apostles and Paul, especially because he was a Pharisee and got converted into this man of God. They had some issues. They didn't like these pesky little preachers. So they'd persecute them and beat them. Now, you all know, well, most of you, that Paul became that strong man of God, and he ended up wanting to preach to everybody in the world. You name it. That was his desire. As soon as he saw God, he set out and wanted to do God's will. So he traveled everywhere. He even traveled to Rome, where, if you understand, the Romans were Christian-hating people. They were the killers of the Christians. And Paul was determined to convert them and preach to them. Now, this guy, Paul, and the rest of the apostles went through confusing and like hard to understand times. They were beat, persecuted, and made fun of pretty much in front of the people they would preach to. Now, Paul makes it pretty clear what he says in 1 Corinthians. He says, we are fools for Christ. Amen? Shouldn't we be fools for Christ too? I mean, Paul couldn't have put it any better, I think. Look, they're getting beat and embarrassed in front of the people they would preach to. Now, I'm sorry, but hear me out for a second. If some guy were to walk through those two back doors and come up here and start harassing me about my faith and asking me questions like they were doing to Peter and John, you know, we'd answer back, right? Well, I would, justly and as best as I can. But, you know, I'd have my questions. I'd be like, you know, Lord, where are you? You know, give me some answers to shut this guy down, you know? Lord, get someone from the congregation to take this guy and throw him out. I'd have some questions for God. But Peter and John and Paul, I don't know how they did it. I wouldn't have understood. They were persecuted and beaten and embarrassed in front of all the people. Talking about some confusing times. Now, many of us, I believe, well, how many of you think you're perfect? Amen. Put you on the spot. Many of us, I believe, well, we believe that we aren't perfect. Maybe we believe we don't have the strongest faith like the apostles did. But should we not go and preach the word to the rest of the world? Amen. That's what it says in Revelations, right? Spread the gospels to the end of the earth. Now, some of you might be saying, well, come on now, that was, you know, the apostles. But no, Revelation says it. We're to send the message to the ends of the earth, like the apostles did. But regardless, like the apostles, I believe to trust in God during times of tribulation, to run to Him when you're hurting, to follow Him and His will during those hard times that we go to, does that not take a lot of faith, brothers and sisters? I mean, even I struggle with that. We all struggle with that, I'm pretty sure. Now, that may take a lot of faith, but I believe thanking the Lord for putting us through those trials takes a whole lot more faith, right? We can go crying to God or asking Him for things easily like that, but to thank God and get on your knees for a trial that He puts you through, I think that takes a whole lot of guts. Now, this morning, like I said, we may not be perfect. We may doubt. Not we, but you know, He, Christ, may not make any sense of the times. And oh Lord, you know how much you don't make sense to me. And you know, we may get scared that we don't even know who to run to or who to trust anymore. I've been in times like that. Now, I want to share a little something with you. Personal story that happened with me and my family. And this was actually just yesterday. And I mean, talk about confusing times and a hard trial, brothers and sisters. Now, how many of you love dogs? Amen. I love them, cute little things. Well, depending on what dog you had, I guess if you had a pit bull, that wouldn't make any sense. But me and my family went through this sad and horrible trial, right? We had this little Yorkshire named Bonita. Most cutest thing, well, that I've ever seen. I mean, I love this dog to death. And this was yesterday, just after Thanksgiving break. My brother Josh was staying over at my house. And my little brother Ethan comes and wakes me up early in the morning. And I didn't go to sleep till 2 in the morning. And I'm just like, ugh. He comes in all joyful and happy, waking me up, saying, let's go take the dog out. Let's go take the dog out. So he grabs me. I take Josh, Ethan, my sister Marilyn, and Taylor. And we all go to the park, and we start messing around playing soccer. And we didn't want to let little Bonita run around because who knows, car could have hit her, she could have ran off and never came back. The dog's crazy. So we tied her up to a tree. And the whole time, I kid you not, this dog would not be quiet. She was barking and hollering the whole time we were playing soccer. And she'd keep on doing this and doing this and doing this. And I mean, she got annoying. I couldn't take it anymore. So finally, I forgot who it was. I think it was Marilyn. Went in and untied her from the tree because, I mean, this dog wouldn't be quiet. But eventually, like I said, Marilyn pulled her off the tree and they were walking her. Now, as Marilyn was walking, little Bonita, cute dog, this was like in slow motion, I swear. She just takes off. And I mean, you think Great Danes are fast, but you should see my little puppy. She can book it. She can run. You guys want to race her? Holler. Just holler. But anyways, little Bonita just takes right off and shoots to this house. And she's just barking and hollering. I'm like, man, she's going to go, you know, start biting some guy or chasing some guy. I'm like, what is she doing? And out of nowhere, this pit bull. And I mean, this dog must have pulled weights or something because this thing was huge. It had a huge jaw. It just comes up and snags her. And I'm not even going to go to detail because you probably already got the good idea in your head about what happened. But, you know, as I saw this happen, and as I saw the pit bull, you know, torturing this little tiny puppy, I just, you know, I picked up some rocks, huge rocks, and I got up, and me and Josh and all my brothers and sisters, we just ran up to the yelling and screaming at this pit bull, you know, to get, go, and I just kept on throwing rocks at it, and you know, it finally left. But, you know, it left something else behind. It left our little Yorkshire right there on the floor, bleeding. And I mean, this dog lost a lot of blood. I couldn't tell if she was dead or not, because the way she was laying on that floor didn't look too good. And you know how it goes. My little sisters were crying. They run inside the house. They go and tell my mom. My mom starts bawling tears. And my dad gets the girls, and they hurry up, and they run to the vet. And I mean, my adrenaline's pumping. I have no idea what to do. You know, I'm so caught up in the moment. I'm so scared. I'm like, oh, is she going to make it? Is she going to die? What's going on here? And all morning, you know, we went and got the dog. We found the dog walking around the neighborhood, and we wanted to find its owner. So the whole morning, you know, we're calling the cops and getting this stuff all taken care of, and a thought kept on rolling inside my head. You know, I talk to God a lot in my head. I just randomly do it. But, you know, I was like, I knew I would be here this morning preaching about, you know, being thankful when God doesn't make any sense. All I remember telling the Lord was, Father, how can I be thankful? Oops. How can I be thankful for something like this? I mean, how many of you have lost a loved one? Or even a pet, as a matter of fact. Were you thanking God at the time that person died? I don't think so, and I wasn't either. I was confused. I was like, this was testing me. Lord, how can I thank you for something like this? My dog just died. I just watched it get torn up. There's no beauty in that. And then it hit me. Like if God were telling me himself. This thought popped up in my head. Zach, you come to me just about every day asking me to build up your faith. Zach, you say you want to believe in me and know I'm here with you. Zach, you want to be stronger in me. You want to be stronger in me. And then he said, why don't you just believe? You believe I'm here, right? Yes, Lord. You believe I have a purpose for all things? Yes, Lord. You believe I have a reason for this? Yes, Lord. Then what's the deal? And immediately, right then, I put a smile on a face, my face, because that verse in Romans 12 just came up where Paul says, be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. I'm guessing when he said tribulation, he meant anything, whether a family member died, or a dog died, or you got, you know, your candy bar stolen. Be rejoicing in tribulation. A smile came to my face. And I was like, you know what, Lord? I thank you for today. Not for, you know, the death of my little Yorkshire, but Lord, for the trial and the tribulation that we endured today. Why? Well, because the Bible says for every, you know, trial or every little bad thing that we go to, there's a major blessing behind that, brothers and sisters. Amen? There's a major blessing that's going to come out of that. And that's what I believe that very moment. It's not worth giving up my faith for something like that. Why? Because in the long run, there's going to be so much more fun, so much more happiness than that little time of trial. Now, like I said, I felt that impressed upon me. And I also felt impressed as it hit me that no matter what life throws at us, no matter what life swings at our face, we as Christians should always be thankful and rejoicing at the fact that our God is always to be praised and loved, no matter what, right? Why? To show sin and the world who we are followers of. Amen? I want to go back to the apostles where Peter and John were being beat. Now, I don't know how it went, but the way it was pictured in my head, Peter was preaching in front of a group like this. When, you know, the Pharisees and the other guys came down and put him on his back and start whipping him in front of all the people he was preaching to. Now, talk about a confusing time. I mean, I'd have questions for the Lord. But what Peter and John was said, inspired me so much. As they were being beat for spreading the good news, not the bad news, good news, all they could say was, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for we get the honor of suffering for you. Now talk about faith. Think about this, brothers and sisters. Christ died and suffered for our sins, right? And we're thankful for that. Hopefully, amen. But we give thanks to God for that. Now, we give thanks because now we have a chance of living an eternity with our God and Jesus, of course. But how do you think God felt when he saw his son being nailed to the cross? When he saw his son dying? Now, I don't know how it goes. I haven't read it in the Bible yet. But from my understanding, there is no sorrow in heaven. So I'm pretty sure God and the angels were up there rejoicing and having a party and giving praise. Why? Well, because his son just conquered sin. Why? Because God was going to be able to hold his son again, spend time with him again. Another reason why. Because now Christ, Jesus, and all those angels up there have a chance at spending eternity with us, us sinners. Now, we're not God, and it can be hard to thank the Lord during times of tribulations. But still, brothers and sisters, I believe that it takes a whole lot more guts to fall on your knees and praise God for that sorrow or depression or whatever trial you're going through than to fall on your knees and ask him for something. It takes a whole lot more faith. I mean, of course it's important, right? God loves us to come to him as on our knees and as we are, right? Now, I believe that when we go through these trials or whatever bad things that we go through, Christ already sees the beauty that's going to come out of this. He sees the fact that when we come out of this fiery furnace, this fight with Satan, he knows, how do I put it, that we're going to be this whole new, mean, and lean Satan fighting machine. Amen, right? Because, I mean, after that trial with my family and the whole little Yorkshire thing, you know, I was down about what happened to Bonita. But still, I felt an even stronger believer. I felt stronger in my faith as soon as I thanked the Lord. Because I know there's going to be this whole new blessing that's going to come out of this. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I barely heard yesterday when I came home that the Yorkshire just about died. She had to go get a blood transfusion because she lost so much blood. So the vet said, you know, I don't think there's a chance that she's going to make it. She made it. She made it through the blood transfusion. And then they had to take her to rush her to another hospital where I just found out that we don't have enough money to pay for the little Yorkshire to get all fixed up. I mean, right now she has a tube inside of her that's keeping her breathing because she got bit bad in the lung. And but I'm sure God has a wonderful will for what he's doing. Now this morning, brothers and sisters, like I've been saying, we may not be like the apostles. We may not be like Paul, so strong and courageous in our faith. But why not challenge yourself today to take that step, to thank God when you're going through those hard times that Satan might give us? If today you want to take that step and thanking God through whatever we go through, I ask that you please stand with me this morning. Amen. Now, let me pour forth my imagination on you real quick. Like I was saying in first service, this thought just kind of popped up in my head that I want to share, you know. Christ is probably right now looking at you, pointing at each and every one of you, telling Satan, you know, oh, that's my man over there. You see, Mr. Henderson? Satan, that's my man. There ain't no other like him. And there's Maria over there, who Jesus is pointing at, saying, that's my woman, a woman of God. Satan, there ain't no other like her. And Satan's probably telling Jesus, oh, you know, you think she's all that? You think he's all that? You think they're made of that? Let me test them. Let me have at them. Let's see what I can do, Jesus. And Jesus is kind of like looking at him. You know, geez, Satan, you're looking kind of red there. But, you know, hey, have at him. But you know what Christ does? He turns to you as he did to Peter. And he's praying for you, knowing that when you go through that fiery furnace, when you go through that fight, you're going to come out a whole new Christian, stronger in your faith. Amen.